Can we stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Agabus, can you call the roll, please?
Mrs. Bennett?
Present.
Mr. Ings?
Present.
Mr. Santelli?
Present.
Mr. Yule?
Present.
Mrs. Weber?
Present.
Thank you. On to item two, public participation. Is there any public participation this evening? On to item three, agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the agenda?
There are none.
Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved. I'm going to adjust that.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Ings?
Yes.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Weber?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. Thank you, Pat. Okay, on to item four. Can I have a motion to approve letter A, the first reading of the following policies, item 1-7?
We don't have to approve it. Just reading.
Just reading? Okay. That's right, it's the first reading, so. The first reading of those. Okay. On to item B, committee reports. Their operations.
Why don't we start tonight just by talking about a couple of things that have happened this summer as it relates to operations. You know, we've had a number of things, I think, from a physical structure point, some things that the operations committee had planned on and implemented this year. One of the items was our middle school roof. It was actually our top priority item that was completed. And Steph can chime in at any time. If you want to, but we've wrapped up that job, and because of our absence from the district, they were able to start a little bit earlier and maintain a good schedule and maintain a good time. That project has been concluded. They are next moving inside the middle school gym, painting the interior of the middle school gym. We are protecting the home of the Panthers, and we are protecting the Panther exploding out of the wall.
Great.
And I think we do have some promises from some pretty prestigious people in this community to go up and fill in the blanks, so to speak, so that they're really doing a block around it, and then we'll work on it from that point.
Will that be completed by the month, or are we?
They're supposed to be starting this week, the last that I heard.
Okay.
So I can't imagine it's supposed to take them very long, and then when they're finished with that, we go to the gym floor.
Okay.
All right, so, you know, obviously in the summertime, we prepare our buildings, we've done that. They have a target date of next Monday when our teachers report various things, floors to be cleaned, waxed. So we're in full preparation mode for that. And the other big project this summer was the demolition of North Panther Stadium, EA Cyberlink Stadium. I think our community on their own, we were not permitted to hold a congregate setting there for an actual ceremony. Some people, I hear about 70 people came on the Monday night, and from all accounts had a wonderful time, including a gentleman who participated in the very first game there.
Oh, wow.
In 1949. At least that's what he told everyone. He played in the very first game. So, and then the Wednesday and Thursday of that week, you know, we went out and watched, and we have so many great memories there, but right now it looks so natural that it's not there, and it looks beautiful. So we appreciate it and love the stadium, but we're moving forward. So those were some big projects.
The back driveway is scheduled to be done. They're working on, we're getting it done through the city. The contractor that they're using to do the city streets is giving us a better discount on it because they're already on site. So they're working out, I forget where he said they were working, and they're gonna come in here and finish it then. so that should be done soon.
So the district in years past has patched the back entry driveway, and this year we're actually getting it fixed through PI money, so we're looking forward to that. As far as some other operations things, obviously we work really hard on the acquisition of necessary PPE for the upcoming school year, including masks, including disinfectant, and as I've shared with the board and shared with our community, we've purchased some electrostatic sprayers, we've purchased the MyShield product, and we will have everything in place to keep our students safe and to keep our teachers safe and to keep our buildings clean on top of the normal cleaning that we do. I shared at the last board meeting, we use a product called Oxyboron. I had a couple of community members ask me for the correct spelling. It's the safest product on the market and one of the best. So it's a hospital disinfectant that we use here in our school district. That cleaner will be used on our buses. And speaking of buses, Pauletta, her operations update is, she is sending out 910 bus passes tomorrow. So we have that many people that signed up to use buses in our school district this year. Speaking of products, we're ready. We have 140 cases of Purell ready. We have 20 cases of hand soap. We have paper Purell stands on top of other stands where when our community and students do enter our buildings, there will be Purell stands available to them to keep their hands clean. We purchased 10 metal stands. You saw one coming in tonight. We are struggling mightily in the Clorox wipes. They are just not available. So we're not prepared in that area. We have a large number of masks ready when needed, and we have purchased signage. We used a local company with Power Graphics for signage for our foundational ideas of washing your hands, wearing your masks, social distancing. So those are really some of the operational things that have been set in motion. We're singularly focused in a way to get our buildings ready, but we still are able to get the other things that we need to get done. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for all the hard work, too. You and everyone else. Okay, finance.
I can piggyback off Dana when he's talking about the stuff that we have to purchase for COVID and the PPE, the different things that we need to do. We have received notification on Friday that we received a coronavirus relief fund that will give us $125,000 that we can spend on what they consider necessary COVID-19 supplies or expenditures that we need to make. That can go back to March 1st and has to be spent, totally spent, by the end of December. $28,000 for backpack sprayers and cleaning supplies, masks, all that kind of stuff that we've already purchased can go towards that. We're looking at some, or Keith is looking at some plexiglass for the secretaries and some other, the entrance way, some of the things that we did. So all of that then can, instead of coming out of our general fund or our PI fund, can be paid for out of this $125,000. Also, a little bit more good news that we've received, we're kind of on hold with, is the Nexus Pipeline. If everybody remembers, they have filed three appeals against the valuation of the pipeline. It originally started at $12 million, and those appeals are taking it down to 38% of that, which is costing us about $450,000 a year in lost revenue. So they appealed that, or they filed an appeal to the Department of Taxation, who upheld the original values. We've received that information. That came back in early July. So now we're waiting for, they have 60 days if they're going to file another appeal with the Board of Tax Appeals. We haven't heard anything on that yet. We're kind of assuming that will be the next step from Nexus. They're not going to file something like that and then just sit back and let it go, but that's where we're at on that. That could definitely be a long process. We're not looking for anything to be finished quickly, but you know, hopefully that at least was one step in the right direction. And as far as our state funding, we still have not heard anything definitive on that. The payments that we've received so far are based on what we received last year, which is just the 5% cut. And if you remember, we put a 10% cut into our budget for this year. they're saying until they have some more income tax and some sales tax collections, they're not sure where it's going to go. They don't look for us to get more than the five, or what I want to say, they don't think that we'll receive more revenue than what we received last year, but maybe not as much of a cut, but we won't know that yet for a few months. So we're hopeful on that and just kind of doing a wait and see. Our income tax, we received a payment on that. It was almost $230,000 less than what we had anticipated originally, but being as the they had until July 15th to file versus April 15th, we were expecting it not to be where our original estimates were. So again, we have to wait until October to see where those payments look like they're going to be, because we're expecting that to receive what we didn't receive this time, that we should get it in October. So hopefully that will be in line. And again, till that point, we're not really sure where we stand. Other than that?
So Steph, you know, we had talked about final forms, and we're moving forward with final forms as being part of the coronavirus relief fund from exchange of papers that the district felt was very safe. Do you know if we're able to use that money for the purchase of final forms, or does it not apply to that?
From everything that I've read, it seems like it should apply to the implementation of that. And then also on the agenda later this evening is transferring funds. And I think we've talked about this over the years. We had money in our adult education fund when we had classes. I think I look back, they were 15 years ago maybe that we had classes, and we had some additional funds sitting there that we can now transfer to general fund. And we transferred that with the stipulation that we would use those to also pay for final forms. Because it was raised from adult education, which came from community members, the thought was we would put that back into something that will help the community as we move forward through the final forms process.
Thank you.
Stephanie, how are things with Ohio Checkbook? We haven't talked about that in a long time.
And I'm uploading the stuff after we approve them. I haven't heard anything really one way or the other about it. I know they have a new format on their website. I uploaded the new link to that, and I've gone in and played with it a couple of times, but I haven't had anybody ask questions about it at all.
Thank you. Madam Chair, policy?
We just had the first reading of the 7 policies. Nothing really earth-shattering. I mean, all recommended or, I don't want to say forced, but have to do
required.
Policy.
Required.
Yeah, required to put in place. So I don't know if you want to expand on it.
I'll just add, you know, there are two items related to the evaluation of professional staff, and you know, those OTES documents are something that Amy works with NCTA, and you know, we have committees that are engaged. This isn't something that a school district comes in and tells its teaching staff, this is what we're doing. As a matter of fact, this district has relied on the input of NCTA. And so they give us some guidance through policy of what should occur, and we work with NCTA and come to an agreement. Is that accurate, Amy?
Yeah, the documents basically are given to us, you know, from the Department of Education. We can choose to use the evaluation system that we used last year, or we can choose to move forward with the new system. Everybody will be moving to the new system beginning next year. They gave each district an option to choose because of coronavirus. In working with NCTA, with the union, they decided we're going to go ahead and move into the new system. So we've been moving to what's called OTES 2.0. The system itself will look a little different when teachers log in to see the information. Concept is still the same. So, you know, the actual policies and procedures really haven't changed a whole lot as far as evaluation cycles. Those will be the same as they were before. A teacher will come into the evaluation cycle where they left off at the end of the previous year. So there's not a lot of changes. It's a little bit of wording. And one of the major changes that the department was planning on doing was involving the use of high-quality student data, but because of the fact that we had no end-of-course testing, we have no value add, we're not able to use that, so teachers would be evaluated without the high-quality student data piece. And principals have been made aware of that. It's been shared out to the staff and to the teachers, so that's kind of a bit of a sigh of relief as far as, you know, where that goes with the teachers. And that gives us an extra year to really fully embed ourselves in that process.
Good. Thank you very much. Anything else, Mr. Yule? Number four, community engagement.
Take it, because you've been doing all, you and your office staff have been doing most of the community.
I'll just talk about a few things. So as we made it through the emergency remote learning plan back in the spring, we were really interested in how the community felt about district communication. And I will say, you know, there were really favorable remarks, you know, whether it was from instant messenger, email, phone calls that principals had used, you know, the large scale communication, things that we posted on Facebook, very positive. And all I can talk about right now in terms of this summer is we periodically would reach out to them in regards to what was happening with our thought process. So we reached a point through our task force where every Friday we were releasing information to our community. And so I hope that they understood and knew that it was coming. And then, you know, we were really active with telling them that the plan is coming at this particular date. So we've tried just to be consistent with phone calls, with videos, with emails, and, you know, outside of the community who wants to provide opinions on where this should go, which I appreciate, I have received nothing but positive feedback, you know, whether it's related to a building, principal, an administrator, an office. I do not feel by any stretch of the imagination we've kept community in the dark. I do feel that, but I think, you know, I believe in our plan. We have waited with a lot of other local schools just to see everything that is unfolding before a final decision is made. And what I've shared with the teaching staff and others is, you know, we have these things that happen in school districts. We have snow days where we call them at 5:45 in the morning, and we adjust as a district, they adjust as a family. This is a lot bigger than that. And they've understood that as well. So I guess I'll just take this moment to thank the community. They have responded so favorably to our communication, even in moments where they didn't agree with the decision. I think they understood. The team has been working hard and preparing. So that's really all I have in relation to that. So we've used our tools. Our team has used its tools this summer to keep communication alive, and I think it's been beneficial for us as well.
Very good.
Okay?
Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Yes. Technology and instruction.
So we have all three directors that I've asked to be here tonight, so to speak about the technology, to speak about our special education, and to speak about curriculum. So, Angie?
Angie and I kind of decided to tag team.
Excellent.
As far as, you know, because one kind of leads into the other, as far as what we've been doing. Just a reminder to go back and think about the end of last year. We were able to repurpose Title IV funds based on, you know, a little bit of guidance that we got from the state because of needing Chromebooks and some different things. So that one of the first things that we did at the end of the school year last year was to be able to purchase 50 Chromebooks in a cart by rebudgeting Title IV funds, which we've not been able to expend that much money in the past. It's been a limitation as to the amount of funds that you could do. But because of the situation where we were, they revised all of that and allowed us to make additional purchases. So basically, that's one of the first things that we did. Was those 50 Chromebooks, and from there.
Well, and that actually helped out primary a lot because they had some old computers that needed replaced, and they also needed some room space in that building. So that part was able to be moved into a room, in and out of rooms, obviously, and free up the lab that had old computers in it. So that was a huge help. The other thing was, in response to you know, the board hearing about teacher and student needs, in regards to devices, last year the board had approved some additional funds out of PI to purchase items, and we had a staff survey asking about needs, and we looked at all of that, and the tech advisory committee tried to figure out what was the best way to allocate what we could, and that allowed us to purchase 423 Chromebooks to go into 11 carts and about 12 tech tubs. I'm not sure if that number is exact, but it's pretty close. So across the district, we were able to purchase with those additional funds to provide more devices for students, because as you know, we still are not one-to-one in our district. We're at least trying to get to a point where we have one cart per classroom. And then out of regular PI funds, we were able to replace some more Windows laptop carts that were at least 6 years old, and replace those with Chromebooks. All three carts at elementary building, we were replacing those. High school cart for athletic health care, and also a cart at the middle school, their last PC cart, we were able to, or are able to replace those. So we have all of those devices coming in this summer. And as you can see, there's quite a few. And we've had four TWE students working over the summer, part of the time, obviously, with what's been going on, to help us get all of those ready. We're not done yet, but I believe we have six or seven of the carts with 32 Chromebooks each already prepared. So they've been working very hard this summer. Additionally, we were able to purchase Screencastify through some Title II funds. This is huge for us because our teachers will be able to record their lessons, whether that means standing in front of the smart board or Clever Touch, whatever they have, so the students can see them and the instruction, or just recording what's showing on their desktop screen and talking so the kids can hear their voice. They can even add a little picture down below. But part of the issue we're running into is that a lot of these resources were provided free during the COVID pandemic, and some of those are going away. And so we ran into that with Google Hangouts, and this was a resource that Title II dollars were able to help us with that.
That really truly came from, you know, the teachers wanting to be able to record and, you know, have on-demand videos and lessons, but also in listening just to the task force and parents. They really want it to be our teachers and our connection with the students. They don't want it to be something that they log into and are constantly going to an external web page or something like that. They really wanted to have that connection piece with our teachers. So using Title II funds, licensure, that's one way that we were able to do that. So we basically bought a district license so that anybody in the district is able to do that.
And that's huge when you're doing remote learning for any of those students, or even your students that were coming face-to-face. They could re-watch the video, re-watch the lesson. So it really helped a lot of areas. We've also just been doing, there's new Windows updates. We've been doing those on the computers over the summer. As the custodians clean, they take everything out of the classroom and disconnect everything, and then they put it back, and we go around and reconnect and get things up and running again. We've also been working with maintenance on a cleaning plan for devices, because our students are sharing devices. So purchasing cleaning products, coming up with a schedule, having things available in the room so that when each student is done with a Chromebook, it can get cleaned before the next one, or even keyboards, and that does include staff. Keyboards and mice, they have a mechanism for spraying these sorts of things and taking care of that. So we've been working on coming up with plans for those. Additionally, we've been working on the remotely website that we put together for families when all of this started, looking at updating that. We have a fabulous, I mean, they're all fabulous, our TWE kids, but we do have a really special TWE kid when it comes to detail and professional development, Michael Pettit. He has been working on videos. One of the things the task force and teachers have asked is, for our parents to have videos. How do I get my student into Google Classroom? How do I join a Google Meet? What do I do when I get there? So he's been working on those videos and creating some phenomenal handouts, and we've been updating that on the family website. We still have a lot of work to do on that site. We're not quite ready yet, but we will continue to do that, share it out. And then also we've been working on coming up with whatever plan, you know, it turns out to be as far as loaning out devices, taking the survey data, who needs a device, and looking at how to do that.
We've also been, as Angie and I are getting things to our emails from the ESCs, local, you know, businesses, whatnot, we've been able to put together a spreadsheet to where Angie has done some videos herself. She's had some classes. Teachers have the choice of coming in person or watching it live or then watching it afterwards. So she's hosted 13 different classes, but all based on things that our teachers are going to need as we move into the new school year. Using Screencastify, how to use that appropriately. Google Classroom, now that we're moving in that direction. Google Drive, and how to communicate with parents. So you've had several staff members that have attended them, whether it be virtually, in person, whatnot. And just today I sent out a few more emails. I feel like we're constantly inundating teachers with emails as far as things that the Department of Education is offering, virtual hangouts for the content areas. They're releasing information on their return plan. Just another one I sent out the other day was a student readiness toolkit, and they have them in language arts and math for those teachers to be able to go onto the webpage and click on certain things. There's, you know, how to plan, how to assess, standards and so on and so forth. So there's all kinds of things that are going out there, and I try to apologize to teachers in advance because we don't need to purposely throw everything under the sun at you, but we don't want anyone to miss anything that might look like it's a value to them. I just sent another one today from the ESC of the Western Reserve. A lot of Google again today. You'll see a lot of people going in that direction. But in addition to the Google ones, there have been a lot for social emotional as far as how to address those kids who need to be here and need to have that communication interaction and in dealing with that. So there are several of those that come out. Some have a small price, $49. Some of them are absolutely free. It just depends on the entity that's hosting them. So we're really working on, you know, basically trying to find a way for all of that to happen. And we try to put in the subject line, you know, social studies teachers, this is for you, so that if it's not your content area, you don't have to open that email, because I know every day when I come in, I have at least 55 new email messages. And so I know teachers are feeling the same way.
Another thing that has come up is, you know, we have some classes that require specialized software that we have in the school that's installed locally on the machine. So if there's a remote situation for any student, you know, how are they to do those things when they don't have access, maybe even Microsoft Office at home. We have some Adobe programs and classes that students take. So we've really been looking into ways that you can provide licensing for them to do that at home. We're making a ton of headway on Microsoft Office, so I think that's something that we're going to be able to do for high school students, to give them still the ability to use that program and learn in those courses. We're looking into Adobe. There may be some cost associated with trying to transfer our licenses in that direction, but our teachers in the spring worked really hard to try and come up with creative ways to still teach the same content, even though the kids didn't have those programs. And so we're doing what we can to try to figure out if there's a way that we can provide them with the actual software. The other thing that we've been working on is, whether it's with Screencastify or not, is you can use document cameras to record. So if a teacher only has a desktop and they don't have a webcam and they want to be able to record themselves, some of them have document cameras with, you know, like the old overhead transparency machines, or some of you might know them as Elmos. If they have a document camera, you can actually use that, and you just kind of tip the arm up. As long as it has a microphone as well, you can record your lessons through that. So I've provided some tips to teachers regarding different document cameras we have in the district for them to be able to do their instruction in that respect.
And then just some curriculum specifics. So back in May, I started taking a look at standards gaps, because we knew that when the schools closed back in March, it was going to be difficult for teachers to try and hit all of those content area standards. So I went ahead and created some spreadsheets with all the standards on them, so that teachers can go through, grade level teachers can go through and look and say, okay, we hit this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. We need some more work on this one, this one, and this one. So after we had already finished all of that, ODE then decided also to release them. So I like mine better because mine came up first, but that's just me. So then what we did is we gave them to the teachers and said, please fill this out accordingly, and then share this spreadsheet with the grade level that's following you, so that those teachers know when those students come in, where do we need to focus. So then Mrs. Ebner and myself have been working all summer on creating another spreadsheet that we're gonna share out with staff next week, that kind of has the implications or considerations. So these are all of the standards. This is the percent of range, or the percent range, that those questions might appear on a state test. These are the standards that are related to those particular standards. So if a student is not, you know, hitting a particular one, where can we go? Do we go back? Do we move forward? We have implications from a couple of different organizations, Achieve Before being one, considerations for what to do in moving ahead. Spend a little bit more time here, spend a little less time here, based on the state assessments, so that we know we don't have to maybe spend 4 weeks teaching something that maybe we can just do it in quick in passing. So we've got guidance on how to approach the standards as well as those that link to them. So we're going to be working with teachers on that. I've been making the necessary purchases for the materials for our students. The everyday math materials, the social studies workbooks, all the things that our students typically have to have in their hands when they begin the school year. So we've been making those purchases. We are moving ahead with using Hegarty. We piloted it last year in the primary and elementary building in kindergarten, first grade. Preschool's already been using it. It's a phonemic awareness program to help with getting the students ID sounds and letters and kind of making those connections earlier. So we've got that going on. We've been working on getting that remote learning plan together. Hopefully we'll look at it tonight and approve it, and then we can submit that to the Department of Education tomorrow. Each school system that is doing a remote learning or in any way, whether it be a hybrid, whether it be whatever, we have to submit that plan to the department by August 21st. So we've been working on that. I've been going through the federal budgets, the federal funds, Title I, Title II. We're able to use some funds this year to support the eye care mentoring program, which I believe maybe you heard Mr. Morris talk a little bit about that at the end of the school year. He's been officially trained in that, so we're going to go ahead with that. So thankfully, we're able to use federal funds to purchase the training through Red Oak with that. We're also going to be using some of those federal funds to expand the PACSCO behavior game training. Some of our elementary teachers and kindergarten teachers have been through that training, so we're going to be able to hopefully offer more teachers the opportunity with those funds. And in working with Jeanette, we've decided to also move ahead with Red Oak Behavioral Health for an early childhood intervention plan to be used in kindergarten students at North Primary. And the AP scores have come in, and overall, because it was a crazy way to do the testing, we had 149 tests that were taken across the different subject areas, and 64% of our students scored a 3 or higher, which, you know, given the circumstances of taking it online and, you know, the computer and all of that, so we're very pleased with that. And then, as you're aware, the ACT then was taken in February prior to the school closure, and we had 164 students test. The average school composite was at 18.9, which is actually higher than last year, but it is still lower than the state average, which is 11.2. So that's where we stand as far as my challenge. Anything as far as sharing with preschool?
Yeah, so one of the biggest things that we did in preschool this year by way of efficiency and kind of realigning our services was our need for contracted speech language therapy services had grown and blossomed from a day or two a week to up to 6 days a week most recently. So we this year were able to replace that contracted position with our own Norton employee with a savings to the district of around $40,000. Additionally, I think it's going to provide a lot more continuity of services to our different teams. So we're really excited about that change and what that's going to do for our students. Additionally, we were able to reduce a contract that we had at the high school with Winfield Jobs Coaching. And again, our Norton staff, our aides and our support staff in that classroom, up there mostly Brian Underwood's students, they've really gained a lot of skills and as a way to preserve Norton jobs and be efficient and meet the needs of our students. We were able to eliminate that contracted position with Winfield Job Coaching and still provide those services to our students with Norton employees. Traditionally, Norton is absorbing many students who attend outplacement facilities for usually social, emotional, or behavioral needs. But students who have chosen to use remote learning at those facilities, we've gone ahead and invited them back to Norton for remote learning with us versus paying and contracting through a private provider to do those online services. We think our teachers are more than capable of meeting their needs in that setting, and that also comes at a significant savings to us. And many of our students are in a place where they're seeking re-entry or reintegration into the school setting, so I think that this will have some nice benefits to them, getting them connected with Norton teachers and starting to pursue that important process in their educational continuum as it is. Some of our big considerations in special education as we look at possibly utilizing remote learning, whether it's full-time or a hybrid setting, we have some unique considerations with our related services and therapies that our children receive, like occupational speech and physical therapy. Some of those therapies lend themselves a little bit easier to being delivered remotely or through teletherapy than like physical therapy would, for instance. We've had a big interest from our community and from our parents who have children receiving those therapies to still have access, even in the event of a remote learning situation, to those services in person, possibly by appointment or in small group. We've had a real interest from our preschool families to continue in-person learning. The state has reduced the size of preschool classrooms during the coronavirus to a maximum of 9 students. So we do have far less children in a classroom and are able to provide a good amount of social distance. This is still a big classroom with much smaller enrollment. So we have had a real interest from our preschool staff and our parents to continue to provide some sort of in-person experience for our youngest kids, whether that's, again, by appointment or by a very small group or by running these small classes of 9. Additionally, I've been on the phone a lot with parents of students that receive special programs, and just a real big consensus from the majority of folks that I talk to that in the event of a remote learning situation, they do have a real interest in maintaining that one-on-one connection with their child's teacher to receive those special services. Many of our children who have disabilities have developmental attention, other behavioral issues that make online learning maybe not as accessible to them as it would be to a neurotypical child. So those are some of the things that we're thinking about really right now in a place of listening to our community, listening to our parents, and just kind of being ready to adapt and be flexible with whatever the district's policy is moving forward, whatever we decide to do, just really trying to take those things into consideration, balance the best educational practices that we can with obviously keeping everyone safe and following guidelines from our health department and so forth. So we're in limbo with a lot of things, but just wanted to make you aware of some of the unique considerations in special programs that might differ from regular ed.
Thank you all so much. I know Angie talked a little bit about our We Learn Remotely page, but I want to let our parents know one of the things last spring that they reached out to me about was additional resources for them in situations where they wanted to give more to their child. I feel like in any remote situation now, our staff is excited to tackle new opportunities if it presents itself. But the Ohio Department of Education has worked tirelessly on a parental resource page that has some of the best websites and learning that I've ever seen. You know, the NASA page alone, I think I may have talked about it, is intriguing for any child. They have STEM pages, they have computer science pages, they have history, they have math. And so in those situations where our parents could possibly want more for their child, we will provide all of that if it is needed. So I want to thank all three of you for the great update, and none of them have stop working all summer long in preparation. So I appreciate all of you, all of our admin team. They've just been amazing this year, this summer.
I just have a quick question. So, Angie, what is this put us closer to 1 to 1? Does that sound like almost 500 more Chromebooks?
Everything that we have across the district, we're about 2,000. Everything we have, all of our spares, so anything in parts, thank you.
So in case our community didn't hear that and they're watching, although you're right next to the camera, we're up to about 2,000 Chromebooks for 2,500 students.
And understand that each year there's Chromebooks that need replaced because they're not putting in. Yes. Great. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for a wonderful update. It's sounds like a year's worth of work in a very short time, but I appreciate all the hard work and look forward to seeing it put into action. So, great. On to item 5, can I have a motion to move into executive session to discuss the employment of personnel?
So moved.
Is there any discussion? Ms. Hagen, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0 when I'm in executive session.
Okay.
Okay, we're out of executive session. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
So who?
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Inks?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
See you in 45 seconds.